You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
And welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday, December 15th, 2023. You're listening to me, Grandpa Dan, streaming at RadioAlbion.com. It's hard to believe the month of December is already halfway over. That just absolutely blows my mind. This year is almost finished. It all goes by so very quickly. Of course, it means we're coming up on Christmas here pretty soon. I've been trying to encourage everybody, remind everybody, try to take the time to send Sven Longshanks a Christmas card or at least a note. I think he'd appreciate some nice, colorful and pretty Christmas cards. As I said before, Christmas can be a great time or can be a tough time. Obviously, he's in very trying circumstances right now. So I think now would be a really, really good time for him to receive a decent amount of Christmas cards. So I do encourage you to do so. We've got our contact links right here on this description page for the Daily Nationalist for Sven. So encourage you to take the time, drop him a card, drop him a note or something. We want to keep him cheered up during this Christmas season. Well, it is a Friday. It is the Daily National wrapping up the week. And I thought we had discussed one of the most, we're just constantly bombarded by hoaxes and lies. And of course, some are more ridiculous than others. They're all getting more and more absurd. Of course, I do believe one of the most ridiculous hoaxes that they foist on us is climate change. And I thought we'd do climate change today. We'd talk about the climate change a little bit. Now, I'm well in my 50s, and when I was a kid, I've said this before, I've told this story before, but when I was a kid, I remember being in elementary school back in the 70s, which seems like ancient history to probably some of you, maybe most of you, and I remember that we were being lectured to by these same people about global cooling and that we were all going to be in an ice age and we were all going to freeze to death and there wasn't going to be any crops because the globe was cooling and we were cooling the planet with all of our pollution and whatnot. And even as a little kid, I remember thinking that it was kind of BS back then. And I've watched the change over the years, and it went from the coming ice age and the freezing planet to becoming global warming. And now we're doing the all encompassing climate change. The article we're going to reference today, and I'm just referencing it, I'm not going to just sit here and read through the whole thing. It's wordy, as is sometimes often the case. But our article today comes from USA Today via Yahoo News. And the headline is stupid, too. There's going to be lots of stupid for today's story. The headline is, "The weather is getting cold. Global warming is making weather weird." What a disjointed headline to have. But it's just striking to me that they have the nerve to put these contradictory things together with a straight face, and you're supposed to just swallow it. You're supposed to be so stupid that you just swallow this and go, yep, sounds reasonable to me. The weather's getting cold. It must be global warming. See, because the weather is getting weird. It's wintertime and it's getting cold. This is such a strange thing. It's like when we have heat every summer in Texas. Oh my gosh, it's so hot. It's 100 and something degrees. Yes, we're in Texas. It's done this my entire life. Now, as we go through this article, one of the things you're going to notice, and you've probably already noticed this most of the time anyway, but I was thinking this, you're going to notice that the people who make these claims all have a vested interest in the outcome. I was thinking about climate change, the climate change lie, the climate change hoax, the climate change narrative. And if you were able to put this on trial, in today's legal system, don't think of it as like 2023 legal system. Think of it as like, you know, Perry Mason, you know, 1950s, 60s legal system, where maybe, you know, the legal system actually functions and follows the rule of law, not today's standard, because we know today's standard is ridiculous. So if you were to actually put climate change on trial, If you could put climate change on trial, every one of their witnesses would be disqualified. The judge would throw their witnesses out. Why? Because they all have a vested interest in the outcome. They're not that they would be trying to put their witnesses on the stand and say, well, this person, you know, doesn't have a stake. They're an independent witness, and this is what they say. But yeah, you could always come back and point out that, well, no, this person actually has a financial stake. You are paying them. You see, they would be thrown out because all their witnesses would be paid. If you went to trial, again, with a functioning legal system, but if you went to trial and said, oh, I'm presenting an expert witness, and you had your expert witness stand up there and vomit out his gibberish all saying that, yes, you're in the right 100%, and the person that's on the other side of the court trial, they're in the wrong 100%. And you sat down, and then the attorney for the other side stood up, and the first question he asks is, how much are you being paid to give this testimony? And they had to answer. That witness would automatically be disqualified. The judge would probably have a harsh tongue lashing to you for bringing up paid witnesses. You're not going to be able to do that. It completely discredits your case. And yet, in all of these stories about climate change, they always heavily rely on the experts. And yet, literally every single one of these experts has a vested interest in presenting the climate change narrative. They want you to think these people are independent researchers or they just have come up with this on their own. They're looking at it. They're dispassionately just standing off and logically and technically and scientifically looking at the data. And oh my gosh, it's so alarming. And yet, time and time again, under just the minimum amount of scrutiny, every one of these people has a financial vested interest in this narrative. In other words, they're all paid witnesses. As I said, I'm not going to read the entire article here. I'm going to kind of just skip through and hit parts. I'll have links here if you want to sit here and read through this horribly long, wordy gibberish. I'm just skipping through to make the point. And trust me, I'm not leaving out critical things to make the story look better. If you think so, you're welcome to come try to slog your way through this long article. Notoriously fickle, the world's weather is lurching, lurching. You see this use of extreme language. This is rhetoric. Lurching. It's lurching from one extreme to another. More often, and to a greater degree, as the warming atmosphere pushes natural variability to new extremes, breaking records time and again, the researchers say. These extremes in wilder weather. You see this use of, you know, rhetoric. This is just rhetoric. They're using these inflammatory words. They're using these words to indicate that things are outside of the norm. But if you look around in your life, your daily life, this is something you have to remember. This is something they're presenting that you're supposed to look at in the abstract, but it's something you can observe in your own daily life. They're saying the weather is just lurching from one extreme. It's just wild. It's just crazy. But you experience the weather every day. This is not something in the abstract. It's sort of like when they come out and say the economy is doing great and the jobs numbers are low and everybody's just flush with cash here in America. Well, you can know that's bullshit because you can look at your own life and the people in your immediate circle, your friends, your family, your coworkers, and you can know that that's bullshit. Don't let them trick you into thinking it's in the abstract. That's just us. Everybody else must be. No, they're lying. The answer is simple, that they're lying to you. Likewise, they're making these wild, wild, over the top, ridiculous claims about the weather. But you experience the weather every day. Go outside. And it's the same. Look, I've been around probably longer than a lot of you have. And I can tell you the weather's the same as it's been my whole life. I've been on this world over 50 years, well over 50 years. And the weather is the same. In the summertime in Texas, it gets hot as hell here. It does. Now, you may move here and migrate here from California, and you may, your first summer in Texas, be like, oh my gosh, the climate change here is even worse. No, this, look, trust me. This is how it is. You move to Texas, your ass going to be sweating in the summertime, okay? It's not climate change. It's always been hot here. And it's going to be hot here. August in Texas, you are going to be miserable. That is how it is. The weather, on average, has not changed my entire life. There are some summers that are hotter and longer than others, but on average, it hasn't changed. Your own perspectives now. I mean, now as I've gotten older, the heat bothers me more than it did when I was younger. When I was younger, I'd stand out there, work out there in the 100-degree heat. I could talk. The 100-degree. You see, a professional would edit that out and you would never be the wiser. I'm too lazy to do that. I'm on a roll. When I was a young man, I could work out in the 100-degree heat all day and it didn't bother me. Now I'm getting older and it does. It does bother me. But I'm intellectually honest enough and honest with myself to understand this is not because something has changed the weather. It's because of my ass getting older. It bothers me more. The weather is not changing. Where are we at here? I got on a roll and forgot where I was. These extremes and wilder weather, intense downpours, record heat waves, and more are one of the most direct ways people experience climate change, said the latest national climate assessment rolled out by who? Rolled out by the federal government in late November. Well, there's a disinterested party, isn't it? There's our first expert witness. Our first expert witness is the government itself, who can just claim anything. I mean, if you went to trial, you're going to be on trial by the government, and they can claim you did whatever. I mean, they can make whatever wild allegations that they want to. They can bring forth whatever kind of doctored data they want to, whatever kind of allegations. They can make whatever claim, but that doesn't make it true. In fact, I would say as far as witness credibility, let's just say the federal government has a fairly checkered track record. Again, if an expert witness is put on the stand and they give their expert testimony, a competent attorney, the first thing they're going to do, they're going to look into this witness and they're going to see, do they have a track record for lying? And that's the first thing they're going to do. They're going to bring that up. Well, did you say at this time such and such was going to occur? Well, yes, you're under oath, sir. Just answer the question. Well, yes, I did make that claim. And did that not turn out to be a lie? Well, you could go back. If you had the federal government on the witness stand, you could go back for, you could just present a huge book, a dictionary-sized book of recorded lies that the federal government has made. I mean, just think about that for a minute. Not just on this topic, not just on recent topics. Just go all the way back. Okay, you claimed that the Gulf of Tonkin, was that true? Well, no. On the witness stand, the federal government as expert witness could quickly be torn apart because they have a long, jaded history of lying. And they would be quickly discredited before the jury. In fact, I would go so far as to say in a trial setting, the other attorney would look at the federal government's track record of lying and say, we can't put this person on the stand. We can't use them as a witness. Yeah, they're jumping up and down, willing to give testimony. But the problem is, this witness has a long, well-documented track record of just out and out blatant lying. And if we put this witness on the stand, we know the other lawyer is going to know that and they're going to bring that up. And their testimony is going to do more harm to our case than good. Human-induced climate change alters the intensity, frequency, and duration of many extreme events during every season of the year, according to the report. Drought, flooding, and wildfire are becoming more frequent and severe with cascading effects in every part of the country. Okay, witness with a track record of lying, you're making the qualification here of human-induced climate change. That's a pretty bold allegation, which I would say there's really not anything to back up. Because when you get down to it, the only thing they have to back up this claim of human-induced, wild, over-the-top climate change, it's a testimony of other people that have a vested interest in that narrative. It disqualifies the whole thing. The increasing extremes aren't just setting records, said Daniel Swain, climate scientist at the University of California, Los Angeles. They're shattering records. Okay, well, we can stop here, Mr. Daniel Swain, because you're a climate scientist at the University of California. Again, you have no credibility here because you have a vested financial interest in promoting this outcome. If you, as a climate scientist, were to come out and say, my research says that this is really just caused by the sun and there's nothing we can do much about, any changes we have, any warming trends we get are going to be due by and large to the sun and has nothing to do with what humans are doing. You see, you would lose money. You are being paid. You are a paid witness, sir. You are being paid. You have a vested financial interest to make these claims, and you have a financial disincentive to make a claim the other direction, to come out and say, no, this isn't human caused climate change. This is all a hoax. There's a disincentive there financially for you to do so. Again, as a witness, you would have no credibility. The broken records and abrupt shifts and extremes this year are signatures of warming that have hugely consequential impacts, he said. It's something that I think we're now starting to see in everything that's unfolding all around us. And that, sir, is just a bunch of rhetoric. There's no facts. There's no facts backing this up. Also, I would like to point out that these climate scientists have been caught numerous times. Again, a lawyer would bring up and because he's saying these broken records. So you're talking about your records. Yes. Oh, well, we have this documentation from several years back where y'all were putting thermometers like over central air conditioning units outside intentionally to get warmer averages. Are you familiar with this information? So you're referencing records that you have been caught, you yourselves as a climate scientists community, I guess you would say, have been caught lying and faking the records before. Are these the records in which you are referencing? And do you have anything to prove that these records aren't just as fake as these previous records that you did? You people such as yourself, I'm not saying this guy did, people such as yourself have been caught hoaxing before. You got caught red-handed. Putting thermometers in places to where you could drive up the average temperatures. Y'all got caught doing that. I remember. You think everybody forgets to see us older guys. We remember when y'all get caught doing this shit. We're going to bring it back up. Do we have any reason to believe that your records now are any less fraudulent than the records you got caught before hoaxing red-handed, which there was no consequence for, by the way? They got caught hoaxing and faking it, and it was just brushed off by the media, and they just kept on trucking like nothing ever happened. The number of hot days is projected to increase exponentially if temperatures continue to soar. Warmer temperatures and marine heat waves further expand the oceans, adding to rising sea levels, along with the flow from melting glaciers. The assessment, we're continuing, by the way, to use the testimony of the federal government here. This is what they're continuing to reference here. The assessment states sea levels are expected to further increase the number of coastal flooding events that disrupt lives in coastal communities, like the king tides that struck around the country in November. Okay. Counterpoint, sir, as an expert witness, we're continuing for some reason to use the federal government as an expert witness, even though they have a track record of lying. Did you not also make the claim that by the year, I believe it was 2012, 2013, that much of New York City and much of Florida would be underwater due to melting ice flows? Did you not make that claim back in the 90s? Yes or no? It's a yes or no question. They have a track record. This would not hold up in a court because they have this ridiculous track record of lying. Again, you could reference their whole history of lying, but then you could go back and reference they're lying just on this topic. Again, I've got some years on me. They were claiming that by 2013, cities were going to be underwater. Coastal cities were going to be underwater because of melting ice. And of course, it's just the ridiculous of this, the ridiculous idiocy that they dress up as science. If you take a glass of ice water and fill it all the way to the rim. You put you some ice in there and you fill this water all the way up to the very, very lip of the glass. Okay? And then let it sit out and let the ice melt. Do you know what happens to the water level? It doesn't overflow. It goes down. This is just basic crap science that I learned in fifth grade in school back in the day. If you put ice in, the water level goes up. But if you fill a glass with ice and then fill it with water to the very top and set it out in the sun, I can assure you, you're not going to flood the table. It's going to go down. You're going to come out and the water level actually goes down. Yet they're making this claim. They're making this claim that because ice is melting, the oceans are going to overflow. Because you see, you have all this ice in there. And then when it melts, what's it going to do? It's going to fill it up with water. You imagine going in your courtroom and you say, so you're saying the ice melting is going to cause the oceans to overflow. We have your track record here of previously making this claim and the dates you gave came and went and nothing changed. So you lied there. We have this track record we've presented to the court of your long history of blatant lying. But you are making the claim right now with all of your over-the-top rhetoric that ice melting is going to cause the oceans to overflow. Is that correct? Yes, it is correct. And this lawyer is going to set this out. This glass of water filled to the rim. And they're going to look at it as it melts and nothing overflows. These are things, you forget their rhetoric, forget their appeals to authority, appeals to the experts. They do this because they want you to be they want to gaslight you and they want you to think, well, I must be stupid. I'm looking at this and common sense tells me that when ice melts, the water level goes down in my glass. They can't be lying, could they? They couldn't be doing a lie that blatant. Maybe I'm just stupid, so I shouldn't say anything. No, they really are that blatantly lying. The risk of two or more extreme events known as compound events occurring simultaneously or in quick succession in the same region also is increasing, said L. Ruby Ling, a climate scientist at the Pacific Northwest National Laboratory and lead author of the Federal Climate Assessment's Earth Sciences chapter. Again, this witness has no credibility. They're making this claim and they have a vested financial interest. They get paid. In other words, they are paid witnesses. They're paid to make this claim. They're throwing all this doctor this and such that and expert in this and expert of this out in this story. But none of it holds weight because all of these people are giving paid testimony. They're giving a paid testimony. You sit in there in the court and every witness that comes up and claims that this side is correct, this side of the court case is correct, when you find out that every single witness is paid to give that testimony, their testimony doesn't hold any weight. This year proved a new record for billion-dollar disasters in the nation. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration has reported $25 billion disasters from extreme weather events. And once again, our expert witness here is the government. Again. Well, maybe one of the reasons that the dollar assessment is going up might be partially also due to inflation. Could that possibly be a part of it? But again, this is just the government pointing to someone else in the government making the exact same claims. This is looking bad for the climate change case. They need to bring up a witness that maybe isn't getting paid. But then again, this could be just anecdotal. We're going to bring up a witness to give anecdotal testimony. That way we can point to somebody who isn't actually getting paid for this. Denise Greer Jamerson's family, I always trust somebody with two last names, has seen its share of perilous weather in Lyle Station, Indiana, where sixth generation of her father's family have farmed for more than 150 years. Six generations of her family has farmed. 150 years. She says, there have always been problems with the weather, but now it's becoming more extreme, Jamerson said. We're getting more extremes that are getting more extreme. That's an intelligent statement. Thank you. We're getting more extremes that are more extreme. Thank you for your expert testament. So on cross-examination, Ms. Greer Jamerson, you say your family has farmed for 150 years. Is that correct? Yes. Have you ever heard of the Dust Bowl? Are you familiar with the phenomenon that happened in the previous century known as the Dust Bowl? Would you say the weather you're experiencing now is more or less extreme compared to the Dust Bowl? You're going to give your anecdotal evidence, and you're going to back this up by saying, well, my family has been farming for 150 years. Then you must be aware of when your family must have records and remember back when the Dust Bowl happened in this country. Are they not? Are we undergoing a Dust Bowl now? Or are you just giving testimony about, oh, well, our last crop really was crappy because we had a drought and then we got flooded with rain? They finally roll somebody out that isn't directly paid for this, as far as I know. It's not like I dug into this to find out, because how did they pick this person out? You know, you always have to wonder when they come up with somebody. Now we got somebody who isn't on their face being directly paid for this. But you have to wonder, why did they pick this one woman? Where did they find her? Did they like throw a dart at the phone book and call them up and say, hey, are you a farmer in Indiana? Can you give us some expert testimony here about climate change? How did they pick this one woman out? I'm willing to bet that if you dug, she too has a financial vested interest in this nonsense. Perhaps her family's looking to sign a big contract, put windmills or solar panels all over their farmland. Maybe she's in a dispute. I don't know. But I'm saying the media found this one person for a reason, because they could have also found any number of farming families who would say, no, the weather's always like this. It's always been. My family's farmed for 150 years, and every generation will tell you how awful the weather can be. So the weather is a constant enemy of the farmer. I know plenty of farmers, and they will tell you the weather is like a constant enemy. It'll make or break you. That's how it is. That's why they have crop insurance in this country. It's not a new invention. It's because the farmer is at the mercy of the weather, and that's just how it is. Now, some of that's been mitigated over the years with advancements in technology in areas such as irrigation. We had drought. Did you not want to spend the money for a new pivot system? I don't blame you. They're very expensive, but I mean, it's not like we're still stuck back in the 1920s. I mean, there is ways to work around this stuff. How did they find this person? It's extreme. The extremes are extreme. Now, I want to leave you with a white pill, because the media constantly gaslights us. They do. The media wants you to think this is what everybody thinks, and it's a lie. Okay? It's a lie. I can read a news story when they allow comments, and 9 times out of 10, I know if there's going to be comments filled with paid shills. I do. And 9 times out of 10, I'm correct. Once in a while, I'll get one wrong. But most of the time, before I ever click to expand comments and read comments, I will know whether or not they forked out the money to have paid shills fill the comments. Because that's what they do. Some of them may be bots. Some of them may be AI filling out comments. Some of them may be literal paid people that sit around and make comments. Again, you say, well, you don't have evidence. You're claiming that without evidence. But the evidence is the fact that 9 times out of 10, I'm correct in my assessment. If you read any news story, say on Yahoo News, any news story relating to the Israel, what's going on with Israel, what they're doing in the Gaza Strip right now, 100% of the time when you click the comments, they're all going to be pro-Israel. You're guaranteed they're 100%. I always know on any story like that, the comments are 100% filled with paid shills. Other people are still coming, but they get buried in there. You have to go through a whole bunch of them. You'll see one person be like, yeah, I think mass slaughtering a bunch of people, really, you know, a genocide's not really a very good moral thing to be doing. But they're buried under all these. I saw one the other day, and the comments, literally, almost every one of them were saying the same line. Well, Hamas could surrender today and this would all be over. This is all on Hamas. If Hamas surrendered, the war would be over. Hamas could just surrender. They all had the exact same line. We were just supposed to think that's totally organic. Now, when I saw this story, I thought, this story probably did not rate putting it, forking out the money for a shill farm to fill in the comments. And I was correct. I went through some of the comments here. I clicked on the comments. It went through it. And pretty much everyone, I didn't look at the replies, but pretty much all of the comments that I saw attached to this story were people not buying it. people were not buying it. They're amplifying, they're appealing to experts, they have their witnesses with track records of lying, and they're appealing to authority and making this over-the-top hysterical rhetoric about the world is ending, the world is ending. And 90%, I'd say the vast majority, in fact, virtually every comment I looked at under this story, and as I'm recording this, there were 2,102 comments, and all virtually every one of them I looked at said, I'm not buying this. There was some version of, this is bullshit, and I'm not buying it. And that's encouraging, because if this were a trial, then the public is the jury. And the closest thing we can get to where the public stands is to look at these comments. And since they didn't put a bunch of paid shills in here, the comments overwhelmingly, the jury is not buying their case. The jury is rejecting their claims. The jury is not finding their expert witnesses to be credible in the least. And I think that's something encouraging to take out of all this nonsense. Yes, we know they're lying, but you know, not a lot of other people know that they're lying too. So I would close out by saying, don't let them gaslight you. We're going to wrap up. I hope you have a good weekend. Again, I remind you, try to drop Sven a Christmas card. I know he'd appreciate it. Try to at least drop him a note. I use the email service myself because internationally, I think that's a more realistic, feasible way to go about it, but that's up to you. But at least try to drop him a Christmas card. Yeah. If you're international, he may not get it till after Christmas, but he's not going anywhere. I mean, he's going to still appreciate what I'm saying. I'm not trying to be that guy. But I'm saying if he receives it on December 30th, he's still going to appreciate the Christmas cards. What I'm saying, it's still going to mean something to him. So I encourage you to do so. We're going to wrap up. Again, I hope you enjoy the weekend. Keep the faith, and we'll see you next time.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.